I will use your words, actually, if it's okay. I want to say, stay human in an AI heavy world. This is who we are. You know, be strategic and yet creative. Be data centric. We're going to build a creative machine based, of course, on generative AI and humans. We 100% need the humans to do it with us. I mean, it cannot happen without.
Hi, and welcome to Semo Convo. I'm Michal Afman, your host and a global marketing leader. Today we have with us Michal Sever. Hi, Michal. I'm so happy to have you as my guest.
Hi, Michal. Happy to be here.
Great. So, Michal, before we'll dive into today's topic, which is, I would say kind of like the switch between 25 to 26 and how to open the year in a very kind of like good start as marketeers, I would love it if you can share a bit about yourself and your background.
Okay, so I've got quite a mixture background. My roots are in the advertising space. I worked at many companies such as BBDO, DraftFCB, Gray, as account manager. This is where I think I sharpened my creative instincts, which helps me now when I'm tackling multi-channel campaigns that needs to be sold. But these are my roots. When high-tech started emerging, I moved to Microsoft as a marketing communication manager, which amazed me. I absolutely fell in love with the technology, which made me realize that when you merge marketing and product together, amazing things happen. That's when, of course, I decided to become a product marketeer. Back then, it was quite a new proficiency. We didn't have many product marketeers out there. I'm talking 20, I'm embarrassed to say, but about like maybe 12 years ago. And it only commenced. We called it integrated product marketing. And this is how it all started. We started looking at, you know, at the customer outside in and not inside out. We looked at the product and we pushed it out and everything was different. I don't know if you remember, but when Microsoft launched their cloud, Azure, they used Darth Vader as their creative initiative. They said, Azure, I'm your father. And it was quite amazing. And for me, it was falling in love with product and marketing mixed together. Since then, I worked many years at Amdocs, not many, 5 years at Amdocs, Gentrek, of course, both Nasdaq listed companies, and landed now at NIAX as a VP product marketing and education and content, and enjoying every minute of it. I'm quite of a marketing geek. I'm consumed by it. I feel as if my marketing runs through my veins. So thank you for having me. It was a long intro. I apologize, but
you're in good company. I always say that I'm a geek as well. You know, it's funny. I mean, like, there is such a thing, such a category of marketing geeks, essentially. So I'm very pleased to have you here with me. And Michal, as we're kind of like closing 2025 and now about to open 26, I'm sure our audience would love to hear how to prepare, how to navigate budget discussions, how to lead teams through times of uncertainties, which we are still encountering. I think that, you know, we're still in the midst of it. And how do we still enable innovation? So I would love to dive into this topic and start actually with my first question, which is, how do you keep the team inspired and fast without burning out? What's your marathon plan for marketing?
We just talked about it earlier. It's a complex time. You know, most of the marketeers are a bit confused about who they are, their identity. Marketing is shifting. And I think we should all look at it as if we are athletes, right? We need to gain the habits. We need to have the resilience, but we need to have the cadence. And for me, you know, being successful at what we do is all about the team. It's first about the team. We set the goals, we set the rhythm, and we try to get the, you know, we're trying to get it all done. And yet we have the targets, we have the goals, we have the KPIs, but we still leave room for a freedom of, let's say, creative marketing. Without creative marketing or creative initiatives, the marketing teams cannot survive. Marketing as a whole, it's a creative creature. And no matter if it's dealing growth and numbers and lead generations, or if it's within the design team, it has to be, let's say, driven by creativity, thinking, and also execution across the board. So from my perspective, it's first about making sure that the team is completely aligned and on the goals, and yet leaving some, a room for creativity and out of the box thinking. Do you do sports, Michal? Do you do?
Yes, I
You
love
do, we talked
sports.
about. Yeah.
Yes.
Me too.
And you too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so what I do high rocks. You know what high rocks is?
No, please explain.
It's a combination between let's say high intensity and high cardio intensity and also strength routine. It means that you need to run fast all the time, but sometimes you need to run, but then you need to stop and you need to focus on the muscles. And this is how also I think it's the best way to run marketing. We need to run fast all the time, especially now with all the Gen AI that is coming in, and which I'm sure we'll talk
About
about. But eventually you need to
people.
stop and think, is that good for me? Will that be the most beneficial to what I'm trying to achieve? So generally speaking, when I'm hiring, I always prefer hiring athletes, no matter which kind. But yes, you asked about the team. Again, just to revert back to your question, for me, it's all about, and identifying like the North Star, knowing what we want to achieve, and together in a creative manner, stop if we fail fast, recuperate, and then run again. So we need to run, but we need to be sure that whatever we are lifting, it's the right weight for us to lift right now. Does that make
Yes, I love it. I've started now work with like a personal trainer. So I'll ask him, I'm meeting him tomorrow. I'll ask him, have you ever heard about HYROX? And he's always pushing my boundaries as well. I think that, like what I really love about sport is like to challenge yourself. And I loved how the way that you've described it, because it is very similar. You need to know when to run, when to kind of like focus, solve complex problems. So there are the similarities. So thank you very much for sharing. So as we start looking at 2026, would you mind sharing a bit about what are the big rocks that you've identified for your team?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say that we did identify four big rocks and five enablers, let's say, and the secret sauce also. That's like the strategy in a compelling story, but it's not only my team. I mean, it's not enough that my team identified the big rocks. It's really important that the entire, let's say, company relates to these rocks and understand that this is the role that has. This is like what has to happen, or the way that we are gonna shift forwards, shift our goals and move forward in order to reach our goals. Nayax has declared that we have very high achieving goals of becoming a $1 billion company by 2028, which means that all of us must contribute, and marketing can no longer be a cost center. It never has been a cost center at Nayax, but and yet. Many refer to marketing as a cost center. It is impossible to refer to marketing being a cost center, not today, not ever, but especially when you have such highly achieving, targets hanging above your head, neck, whatever you wanna, whatever you
100,
want.
100% agree. Sounds very challenging and ambitious, and
Yeah,
like the right
whatever keeps
opportunity.
us alive, we love it. So
Yes.
first of all, it has to be like a combined decision, combined strategy, these big rocks with a sales product, the care, investors relations, analyst relations, strategy, finance, everybody. But when drilling down, I think eventually it comes down to four main areas. So Nayax is tackling, we'll talk about it later a bit, but we are tackling multiple segments in multiple geographies. So the first area that I think should be, handled this year, we've started already in 2025 and 2024 was also about it. But now with all the Gen AI out there, we are going to massively improve the ROI and reduce the customer acquisition cost. We want to bring in new AI tools for self-sufficiency for our customers. We have been doing it already. We'll talk about the life cycle of the customer, but everything that has to do with existing customers and acquiring customers, the lead to cash process and the grow beyond process has to become more self-sufficient. And now we have all the tools there. So this is the first big area that I want to invest. We want to create creative at scale. We're going to build a creative machine based, of course, on generative AI and humans. We 100% need the humans to do it with us. I mean, it cannot happen without, you know, the combination. We need to improve the ROI. We need to reduce the customer acquisition costs, and we need to address the top line. So that's like the first area that I'm going to attack this year. The second space, I want to deliver our customers, our existing customers, the best experience ever. I want to give them the services that they're lacking, the features that they need. And if I cannot build it in-house, we're going to take approach of build by partner, which means that we are planning to become a platform of platform. We will do what
Love
we're
it.
Doing now. Yeah, we will have a complete solution, and we'll serve the e-commerce, and we'll serve the retailers and you know, the merchant with best-in-class payment ecosystem management, loyalty, and finance solutions. But on top of it, if a specific feature will be missing, we will allow the integration through, you know, open APIs or whatever, to have our customers satisfied and retained. And of course, eventually for us, it's also beneficial because the average revenue per unit will grow. So that's the second area that I really am eager to invest in. If I'm talking too much, stop me. I can talk forever. Is that okay? Should I just
continue?
Keep going?
Yes.
Okay. The third area that I'm really planning to invest, you know, we cannot scale if we do not use our ecosystem. A lot has been said about indirect selling. For me, this will be the year of our partner. By the way, for those of you who are listening, you can visit my LinkedIn, Michal Sever. We just came back from our big partners event in Rhodes, Greece. It was quite amazing. We had about 250 people joining from more than 60 companies, and we had a blast. But seriously, we are very eager to enable and train our partners to, you know, to manifest what Nayax has to sell. We believe that, you know, it's better together. One and one equals three when combining, you know, partners' work and our work. And yeah, this is an area I really want to invest in, to harness the power of partnerships and to scale through co-marketing and marketing dedicated funds, and to see what we can do together from scorecard perspective and KPIs. We're going to measure ourselves together. And the last one, the fourth big rock, let's say, is of course the high transaction value deals. If we will be successful enough, which I'm sure we will be, in driving the, let's say, the moms and pops, the small businesses, into self-sufficiency, because we will create a top-notch product that is easy to onboard and is easy to scale through and it's easy to use, then I can drive the attention of our sales force power and marketing power to focus more on these high transaction value deals with the longer cycles, with the different marketing approaches. That can benefit the growth of the company and the highly achieving target that I've mentioned before. But again, just bottom line, it all relies on the marketing foundations. The marketing team of unicorns / rock stars / whatever we want to call them, they need
slash
to be
geeks.
Highly, sorry?
/ geeks.
Geeks, yeah, that's fine. Geeks, we love geeks. My sons are also geeks. Don't let them know I said it, but yeah. But yeah, they need to be, they are amazing. They are, you know, once you have a highly functional marketing team, the people make it real. Without the people, without their, as I mentioned before, like out of the box creativities, like big ideas, small ideas, and failing fast and running fast again, without that portion, everything I've just mentioned can go to the trash. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And I think that for the people who follow me as well, they know that I'm all about the people. So for me, that really resonates and caters into my, yeah, life vision value. So thank you very much for echoing that as well. I would love to touch the topic of AI a bit. I mean, you've already mentioned that you use AI quite a lot and that you plan to use it even more so in 2026. And here's a question that I love asking my guests. So everyone's talking about AI integration, but what's really working? What's mostly noise? What have you seen as a great success? What have you seen as a great failure? Yeah.
Okay, that's a huge subject.
It's a huge subject.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you can maybe just, you know,
no,
just give me the in a nutshell. Yeah.
Yeah, so AI, for me personally and for my team, it helps us move smarter and faster. Sometimes smarter, but mainly faster. We do have, you know, we need to check it out all the time, but it does help us in many ways. In marketing, we're the first area, you know, to dive head into the generative AI revolution. And yeah, I think if we utilize it smart, we can definitely save a lot on the OPEX and operational expenses, and we can scale. We can do more creative, we can create content, you know, at speed, but we still need the human touch. Where it does, you know, still clutter is the noise. There's a lot of new noise, a lot of new tools, and you don't know yet where to settle. What we have done this year, what we are planning to do in 2026, I've instructed my teams, and I know all of the teams also within marketing and outside of marketing. What we are doing is, again, we are adopting the fail fast approach. We save some budgets, you know, for testing, and we keep testing. We test all the time. I know that for big companies, corporate companies with a long purchase order, with, you know, long purchasing processes, it's difficult to onboard new AI tools. But we are not letting go, and we are pushing in order to test as many tools as possible. And, you know, from about 4 to 5 tools, we find one that is relevant for video creation, for content creation, for battle cards creation, for SDR scripts. We utilize these within our flows, and it saves us lots of time. Moving forward, though, I will tell you a secret. We are building a nice proprietary machine. We call it a content machine, a creative machine. We'll need to figure out the name. Maybe you can help us. You're very creative.
Thank you.
Yeah, currently we call it Agent X because we don't have a name. But we want to create a system of teammates that will collaborate together in flows that will be determined in advance. We already have the platform itself. It's built. We already implemented the entire knowledge of the company from LOB perspective, product line, tone of voice, according to our ideal customer profile. And now we're building the flows in order to create, you know, the correlation between agents / teammates and to see if the output is relevant or not. I do want to say that it is complex because of the different LLMs and because of the clutter. But once it's out and once it's done, I will be happy, you know, to speak with you again and to showcase it in real time, because I think it can reduce a lot of time and efforts for marketeers, and not only from the top line.
Yeah, and you're building that in-house. So it's not kind of like an off-the-shelf type of a solution. You're really investing in, yeah, okay, that's great. That sounds awesome. So
yeah,
happy to hear, you know, like, what are the outcomes?
Yeah, we tried to build it, you know, externally, and then we realized that from also privacy, legal perspective, it's wiser to build it internally. Although it takes a lot of time and efforts, we are really eager to do it, and we are excited about it. Hopefully it will be ready in a few months and we can showcase it.
Cool. Yeah, sounds very promising. So I'll keep in touch around that. I would love to ask you, where do you draw the line now when there is like so much abilities for the AI? Where do you draw the line and say, okay, this is a process where I will use AI. This is a process where I definitely need a human and I'm not outsourcing it.
That's a good question. We just need to use our common sense. And I don't think there is one situation in which I utilized AI and I didn't test it or checked if it was accurate. Just, you know, funny story. 2 days ago, I live in the Netherlands, and just 2 days ago, we changed to the winter clock. How do you say it? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I asked the chat, what time is it now in the Netherlands? And he told me it's 10:15, but I knew it was 9:15. It's 9:15. Oh yeah, you're right. So this is a really small story, but imagine for the big important things, you know, commercials, pricing, battle cards, sales collaterals, product education collaterals. It's risky. So we are all the time making sure that no matter what the AI, you know, gives us, no matter the output, we check it out. And we check it a few times, and sometimes several humans even check it. So we don't want to mess it up there. It's really important. Mm-hmm. And it's a valid
to really validate. Yeah. Yeah, you need to validate and to confirm the information. I 100% supportive of that. Yeah. Yeah. So moving forward for my next question. So I know that the markets that you work in are very different segments. So do you have any specific playbooks to shift around SMBs, enterprises, consumers? You've also mentioned now partnerships. How do you kind of like move and switch? Because these could be completely different strategies with different positioning, different messaging, etc.
So first of all, we did a process a few years back in which we determined whether we are a house of brand, branded house, or hybrid.
And love that exercise. Love it.
Yes. We've done it like 2.5 years ago because we're a company that acquires many companies. It's in our strategy. And even only in the last year, we acquired several companies. All of them has, you know, digital equity and customer base that is not used to Nayax necessarily. And you need to bring it all together. What we decided eventually from brand perspective is that Nayax is our higher brand. And no matter which vertical, segment, geography we are addressing, Nayax is the higher brand. And then we identify the right to play and we adjust the tone of voice. Mm-hmm. Which means that if we are talking to small businesses and we are trying to drive them to self, you know, self-serviceability, we will be more agile with our tone of voice, and we will be more, let's say, instructions toward the SMBs. With the enterprise crowd, we will utilize different, let's say, tone of voice narratives. But the bottom line, we have one story, we have one brand, and we are taking it out. We are true believers also in both sales strategies such as land and expand and pick and choose, which is quite similar, but in other words, we really believe that with small businesses and with enterprises, you can commence small and grow with us. And then also the brand, you know, doesn't differ, but the tone of voice might differ if you sell a specific solution from land perspective and then to expand. Same goes for the pick and choose situation. The pick and choose situation, by the way, forces us to become an open platform, which means that it also affects the brand, the tone of voice, the narrative. Because if we are an open platform and we want to be, as I said before, the platform of platform, we need to be, we cannot be from competitive perspective. There is a narrative in the advertising world that is referring to the first player and the second one in line. So we cannot look at ourselves as the second one in line because we are always number one. We do not come second. But you can either choose us or cannot, it's fine, but we are out there. You can choose portions of what we give you, you can just land with us, but we will address ourselves only. And if we have other players that want to join the party, they're welcome. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to ask you a bit of a challenging question. Do you have any tips on how to balance between, you know, the whole nurturing process of existing clients versus acquiring new customers?
So there is we look at the entire life cycle management of our customers as a circle, like, you know, the infinity sign.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, preventing, so I'm using it a lot in my presentations. And I'm saying that this is the cycle. The acquisition part is only the start, right? The acquisition begins within the lead to cash, procedure. But then you have the order to activation. Once the customer says I do, you know, he places the order. But then you need to get him, you know, onboarded, and he needs to activate his, his ecosystem, and he needs to start working, and then you want them to always stay happy, to grow beyond, you know, what he already bought from us, and to see that we are helping his business grow, that it's not only about us selling, you know, the solution and then disappearing from his life. So the end part also becomes in some ways, again, the acquisition part, because from the end part, from the grow beyond part, it's not only about retaining or avoiding churn or NPSs and stuff. It's also about allowing new features to upsell, to cross-sell, new lines of businesses that maybe he can adopt from inside Nayax toward his operation. I'll give you an example. Family entertainment centers, for example, they're customers of ours. They have solutions that requires payments within their system. Through us, you can either pay just for the one-time game, or you can acquire a complete loyalty program that will allow you not only to pay for one game, but also to pay and gain points, and afterwards redeem these points anywhere you want, not necessarily within the family entertainment center. Not to mention that you will also want to buy maybe a Coke in the kiosk, in the convenience store, or if you have an electrical vehicle, then you can park outside. So Nayax actually, you know, provides these entire solutions, you know, for our merchants, operators, retailers, whatever. So the grow beyond part, as we see it, it's only the beginning. Because once the customer chose one solution from us, no matter which payment solution he chose, and on top of it, he received the complete solution, we believe that at that point, we can then start a relationship with him, some kind of a discovery relationship with him, to better understand what can be also his next step and how we can develop him to grow his business, be it with the parking or the convenience store, whatever. But these are just, you know, it's already happening out there, but this is just one example of many. For me, the life cycle never ends. It's like
so it's really putting the customers in the mindset of, okay, how does the ecosystem of the different products integrate as well, right? Because what you've mentioned is actually different products under the same umbrella.
Right.
But essentially, these are different products as well. We touched a bit about the topic of partnerships and partner marketing, which I really believe it's on the rise, it's trending, and probably we'll see even more and more of that coming 2026 and even 2027. Would you mind sharing a bit with our audience? How do you think about the ecosystem growth in partner-led revenue? How does it actually look like in practice?
Yeah. So, you know, from a discipline perspective, there are many ways looking at, you know, marketing and in the marketing addressing indirect selling. So there is the traditional spaces in which you usually harness the partners with your brand colors and, you know, visuals, footages, whatever, and you help them in these directions. I want to do something completely extreme because, you know, what
I love extreme. Why not? I love extreme. Why not?
Yeah. I want to take it to the extreme. I don't want to count logos. I want to count revenue sourced and, you know, influenced. The marketing team now is very invested in the influencer space. We know that the ROI for influencer is 1 to 8, which is mind blowing. And we see that with all the AI coming in and with all the generic content that is now being flooding our channels, there is a need for uniqueness and for the human touch. And this is where I see the influencers, the affiliates coming in, you know, strong. So that's one place in which I want to measure the partner ecosystem, you know, at scales from scorecards perspective, to track the pipeline, to make sure that we have similar win rates. This is really important for us for next year. But also from, you know, this is mainly for the small business perspective, but for the big businesses, Nayax has a lot. We have many sorts of partners, and I know that many of your listeners probably have all sorts of you know, partners as well. We don't only have like SaaS partners or hardware partners. We also have acquirers. We have resellers. We have distributors. We have all kinds of, you know, ODMs, OEMs. It's like all out there. So as far as I see it, it's about managing the indirect ecosystem exactly as you're managing your sales. We look at sales enablement not as an enabler, but as a product. For me, sales enablement or partners enablement is a product that is measured by usage, adoption, and growth. This is where, by the way, we're utilizing a tool to manage all of that operation. We call it a NIACS Win. It's a platform that is it's the winners platform. The winners are our sales and partners community. And the way we do it is we give them, we incentivize them if they do the certifications, if they learn how to sell. And I believe this year will be, let's say, groundbreaking from that perspective, because we want to take it to the next level. We want to have mutual scorecards. We want to do more co-marketing activities. I want to allocate MDFs and marketing dedicated funds to specific market, to specific partners that I believe that can help us, duplicate our revenues. I really believe in that power. I think if we invest in the partners ecosystem, NIACS or every company can grow immensely. Again, the target, $1 billion company, we need to use everything we can. So partners should and will be a huge part, engine in this ecosystem this year.
Definitely. And I think that for our audience and listeners, partnership is on the rise, influencers as well. So if you haven't started investigating that, I think that will be the right time. Definitely.
KPIs, transparent attributions, see the numbers, mutual numbers. Yeah. This is where.
Yeah. So from your perspective, do you also share the same KPIs with the sales team, or would you have also a partnerships team in-house? I mean, how does that work? Because there's partnerships. Usually it's under sales. And now there's like this new hybrid creature of partner marketing. How does it come together in your vision?
We're working to make it come together, but there are a lot of functions within the organizations that are supporting the success of such an effort. If it's a revenue operations, if it's the entire marketing organization, of course, and of course, management that is pushing towards that and making us all align on like the higher OKRs, like the big rocks, the higher objective and key results that are also related to these spaces. But relating to your question, I think it's a lot about, the technologies that will allow us to work together. As I mentioned, the NIACS Win platform, and eventually the communication between this persona and the partners. For example, our sales enablement manager, she's amazing. She has bi-weeklies with all the GMs and all the big partners in order to make sure that they have everything they need in order to sell. And if in a specific segment or geography or flow, the qualification process does not work well, she, alongside the field marketing that is dedicated to that specific territory, are in charge of building the funnel, the qualification funnel, from scratch if it's needed. We are all the time adjusting. It's communication. It's being very clear on the data. And of course, utilizing technology for our benefits and not vice versa.
Yeah, so I would love to touch the topic as well about the tech stack, the consolidation, the type of the technology. Maybe you can share a bit of an insight or perspective into the MarTech that you're actually using. And so I understand that you're doing a lot of things in-house, yeah. But for the sake of our audience, is there anything that you can share from your perspective that you've seen that work, or how to even approach that?
Maybe in one word, data. Data, data, data. It's all about the data. And there is no use in having data in, fragmented areas. It has to be consolidated. So from Salesforce to HubSpot to HighSpot, which is NIACS Win, we are streamlining the data for sales perspective. On the other side, with products, we are measuring the usage through our BIs, also integrated to our CRMs and the platforms that our customers are using. And also from the NIACS care perspective, the customer care perspective, we are very invested within the ecosystem that the support agents are utilizing, which should, we are working also to connect that spaces to the other CRMs and marketing automation tools. And why? This will allow us to have like the complete view of the customer data, you know, from the back end, and not only to talk about, you know, CLM, say lead to cash, order to activation. No, we will see in each phase what's happening, you know, with the specific individual and where he is at his journey in order to serve him with the most accurate offering or even a phone call, mail, a social post, whatever. So yeah, data has to be correlated. We are now actually also, we have consolidated most of our systems, but we are adding more systems now that, you know, AI is there and we can see that a lot of new tools are emerging that we want to bring in, especially on the side of content creation and creative creation that can help us, you know, fuel HubSpot and fuel the, you know, the campaigns. But I think, eventually once we'll have it all ready, which most of it we already have, the ability to have shared dashboards between sales, marketing, product, and of course, customer care and visibility, and to have return of investment ownership that is mutual between these systems. This, I think, is the key to utilize tech to the max. I want to say, I said it also at the beginning, but marketing is not a cost center. It's a revenue driver. And being a revenue driver, marketing has to be visible, has to have like the ability to see what's going on with the customer all through the life cycle, all through the chain. So it's really important also to collaborate with the customer success functions and the customer experience functions. And to always, better your ways, all the time make sure that you are serving your customers the way they should be served, but based on the data. Yeah. Measuring all the time to measure.
Yeah. 100% agree. Couldn't have phrased that better. So thank you very much for sharing. Michal, even though we're having so much fun, we are coming to the end of this lovely episode. And I would love to ask you, do you have one piece of advice for marketeers as they prepare for 2026?
I will use your words, actually, if it's okay. I want to say, stay human in an AI-heavy world. Stay human. This is like this is who we are. You know, be strategic and yet creative. Be data-centric. And I think for those of you who are listening and thinking to yourselves, what do I want to be when I'm big, when I'm grown up? What I want to be when I'm a grown up? If you want to be a CMO, then experiment, test the water. I mean, I'm not a CMO yet. I'm a VP product marketing, but I keep experimenting the water. I keep testing. I fail fast. I focus on the data. I never suggest the same idea twice. I'm, you know, keeping creative, you know, at the top of my head all the time while understanding the company strategy, because we're human and we can. So does that make sense?
I love that.
Yeah.
Stay human. And maybe just one more bit from my end, give yourself the permission to be who you are, because eventually it comes across even when you do marketing work eventually. Yeah. Michal, thank you very, very much for your time and for being my guest. And very keen to see how things evolve in 2026.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you so much, Michal.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.